Welcome into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herr is with you. Let's talk Preds hockey as we do every Wednesday night here at 6 o'clock. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue here on 102.5 The Game, your radio home for Nashville Predators hockey. Two great guests tonight. First up, we've got the head coach of the Preds AHL affiliate Milwaukee Admirals, Coach Carl Taylor, is with us. And then at 6:30, Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies will be on the show. Coach Taylor, thanks for doing this. Great to have you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's been a busy day for you guys. You had a weekday matinee game today, a 3-2 loss to the Manitoba Moose at home. What is the typical game day like, especially when you guys play these weekday day games?
Yeah, the morning games, you know, it's a bit of a school day game. They bring a lot of the elementary school kids into the arena. It's a bit of a field trip for them. So it's an exciting event for them, and they get to miss school and get to go out and have a field trip. So they're always full of energy. For us as a staff and as a team, it's a little bit different, but typically we skate at 10:30 for practice days, and that's the same time the game starts. So the guys are kind of used to that routine, but it is a little bit different than an evening game, as we know. But typically we just try to make it as normal as we can, and I would say today was a very good hockey game. Very entertaining, and it was a normal, seemed like an evening game, and then you get walk outside and the sun's still up. So when it's over, it's a bonus because you still have the rest of the day left. When you're going through it in the morning, it seems a little bit different, but I thought both teams played very well today.
Do the guys get up for the school kids? Is it like, I'm going to lay a big hit in the first 5 minutes today to get the kids screaming?
I think most of the part, everyone's looking to get the kids involved, but they're screaming about anything, and they got Bob and the clock and all the different things they're trying to do to create that excitement in the arena. But the guys enjoy it. And, you know, typically on a Tuesday or Wednesday, it's a challenging draw in the American Hockey League. So to have a school day game, we had whatever we had, 5,000-6,000 kids in the arena screaming and yelling, enjoying the game. So it's a new experience for them, and hopefully we may have created a few new fans.
There you go. We're talking to Carl Taylor, the head coach of the Preds AHL affiliate Milwaukee Admirals, who, like the Predators, are in a good spot for playoff position. 8 games left in the Ads regular season. You guys are currently 3rd in your division, and the playoffs have been changed up this year, but you guys are in a good position now to potentially avoid the best of 3. What's this playoff race been like as you guys have turned it up down the stretch?
Yeah, well, like, you know, the start of the year, after 20 games, we were last in the American Hockey League. We had a lot of challenges early on, and we've recovered from that. So that's a real credit to the staff and to the players for climbing out of that hole. That's a difficult beast to hill to climb. So really proud of the group for doing that. We put ourselves in a good position now, but we still have lots of work ahead of us. You know, with 8 games left, nothing solidified yet. We're hoping to hold that 3rd slot and get to play. It looks like it probably would be Manitoba, the team we played today in the playoffs. But there's nothing locked down yet. So down the stretch, we got a lot of home games left. So we want to really focus on playing well and controlling what we can. And that's all the things that we have our hands on, and not necessarily those external factors that sometimes creep in and distract players and coaches sometimes.
And that's another area where you guys are in a very similar spot to the big club and the Preds right now, because the Preds are in and out of the wild card, into the division, things like that. You guys are going on points percentage, which hurts you guys more than anybody else because you've played by far the most games in the league. So what's it like for you guys who are managing both sides of it? You want to help the big club, but you also want to make the playoffs in Milwaukee and go as far as you can.
Yeah, there's a real balance there, and I think that's the number one question we always get in American hockey is, you know, we're here to win, and we don't hold back on that. The team in Milwaukee, we're here to win, and when players are here, we want to win here. Now, do we have developmental concerns and things we need to address, and putting players into spots to help them grow as young men so that hopefully they'll turn into Nashville Predators? Yes, those are all our responsibilities as a staff. But I don't know about you, but we have 8 games left in the regular season. If we can extend that and get more playoff games, our view has always been a playoff game is probably worth 2 or 3 regular season games because of the pressure and the ramped up attitude and everything that occurs with that. All the details, everything gets accelerated. And so we feel we really need to focus on doing that. You can't make the playoffs without having a winning environment. That's what we do, but not at the expense of development. But there are times during the season, early in the year, when we will take, we will put guys into spots that they might fail in and be okay with that from the viewpoint of it's a growth moment. This time of year, it's a team first attitude and we need to win. And that's where our focus is.
Milwaukee Admirals AHL head coach Carl Taylor is with us here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Scott Nickel is the GM of your club and also an assistant GM for the Predators, who manages a lot of the development and the player movement up and down. How are you guys kept aware of who could be next, who's next in line, who's coming back, things like that on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so coaches coach, managers manage, as we know, but Scott and I talk two or three times every single day. We have a great relationship. There's a lot of open communication. He knows exactly what we feel the players are doing, who's knocking on the door, who's demanding more, who's demanding the call-up and the opportunity. A lot of the times it might be on a need basis from the NHL club. You know, they lost a defenseman who is a stay-at-home defenseman, or they lost a defenseman who is an offensive defenseman. So the needs are always thought about and considered, and also the pulse and where the players are at. So in the end, David and Scott and the management group will make those decisions. They will consider our recommendations. But Scott is very abreast of what we're thinking and what we're doing here on a daily basis. He's very invested, very involved in the Milwaukee Admirals and what we do here. He's got his hands right on the wheel here. We appreciate it because he's really focused on us developing players, but also having a winning environment.
It's not this way every season with every NHL team, but for this year, the Preds have mostly carried 13 forwards, and the 14th forward, the guy who you guys would be sending up, has been a lot of different people this year. How interesting has that been to see, and how much does that help internal competition?
Yeah, you know what? I love it. I love it when everyone believes they have an opportunity to move on. Whenever you're in a position when you think you're in a tunnel and it's dark and you don't see your way out of it, or you don't think there will be an opportunity for you regardless of what you do or what you can control, that's a dark place to be for anyone in this world. And for players, they always want to believe they have an opportunity to return to the National Hockey League or to control their own destiny and their fate. And so in the American Hockey League, our job as coaches is to make sure they understand what they need to do to create that environment for themselves. How do they knock on the door in Nashville? How do they demand an opportunity? And we make sure they understand what their role is here, what they need to do to present to Nashville in the most positive light possible. And for us, having the opportunity that it's not the same people all the time, it's based on merit and how they're operating and how they're doing it. You can go back a few years, you look at some of the guys when we had Eli Tolvin in here, like a Colin Blackwell got an opportunity ahead of some of the high-end prospects, which in the end is really good because it's merit-based and everyone, you know, is determined on how they're doing. And Tolvi was a young player. Then obviously he's gone on to become a very good NHLer and a very solid player. But from our viewpoint, we love the merit-based evaluation. It's our job a little easier at this level.
Carl Taylor's our guest. He's the head coach of the Predators AHL affiliate Milwaukee Admirals in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it's his fourth year in that role, but really only the third season as the Ads head coach, because the Ads didn't play last year. The ownership group made the decision during COVID to not participate in the AHL season, which the league allowed for teams to do, and you guys went and shared a club with another team in the Chicago Wolves, and the Preds sent a lot of their prospects there to a shared club. Looking back on that now, what was that like, and did it work out as well as it possibly could have?
Well, we went from having the best team in the American League in 1920 to setting records and doing everything we could to not being able to finish the season, to not having a season, the next shortened season. So that was a challenging thing for the staff and for the players and for management. For, you know, everyone felt that pain. The best case scenario was that we were going to combo with Chicago, us and their coaching staff. I think we did a very good job of melting together and finding a way to make the most out of it. It was difficult for everyone involved. But we made the most of it. We taught their players, the Carolina players. They taught our players. They were the front line staff, and we were in support. So we did everything we could to support it. I ran the power play there. That was kind of my role, is to assist the staff and have my hands on the power play. So It was 2 hours down, 2 hours back daily. So that wasn't so enjoyable. The rental van took 25,000 miles in 3 months. our staff, Ryan Costello and Scott Ford and Greg Rowell, we put a lot of miles in that van. But it was, you know what, there's a lot worse things that people were dealing with as far as dealing with COVID and people losing jobs. We were able to keep our job. We were able to have to make some adjustments. And so we appreciated the team trying to assist us with that. And in the end, I thought our players got better. You know, we were able to put Tanner Jeannot on a first line in the American Hockey League with Phil Tomasino and Thomas Novak. And that line went off. And to have Tanner play in all the situations he did in that scenario, it really accelerated his growth. And you can see the fruits of that labor currently when he's up there doing what he's doing.
You had another very memorable night also in Chicago this past December, December the 17th. COVID was putting the NHL on pause in the Preds' final game before that pause. You and one of your assistants, Scott Ford, got to coach the Preds when the entire coaching staff either had COVID or was being contact traced. You've done so many great interviews about that and how meaningful it was for yourself and Scott Ford. Now that you're deeper back into your season and it's 4 months ago, what sticks with you from that day?
Well, we coached the two games, right? We had the one game in Nashville and we had the one game in Chicago. I think that what sticks with us is that it's just hockey. And for Scott and I, we've had a couple of conversations about it. And we're very comfortable in the job we do here and how we go about our business. We wanted to go into that situation and just approach it the same way. Obviously, everything's amped up. There's more media. There's more fans in the building. There's higher-end players on the ice. All those things are part of that transition. But for us, we just really wanted to focus on enjoying the moment, but making sure we just did our job. We're coaches, so we coach the group. And the one thing I've learned over time is if you treat players like NHL players just like hockey players, they tend to respond because at some point they weren't making all this money and they weren't making all this glory in that situation. They're hockey players. They want to work hard. They want to be treated well. They want to know that what they do makes a difference. And we went about it. It was only 3 days, obviously. But in those 3 days, we just approached it the way we thought we should. And that was how we approached it in Milwaukee. And the players were awesome. They responded very well. And fortunately, we were able to get a couple of wins.
Yeah, it was a great stretch. The Preds with wins over the Avs and the Blackhawks before the league went on pause with Carl Taylor, Scott Ford, and the Milwaukee Admirals coaches helping run the show for the Preds in late December. Carl Taylor's our guest. He is the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals of the AHL. We'll take a break, come back, and talk with him about some of the guys on the ads right now, and also, as he mentioned, Tanner Jeannot, some of the former ads who have been great for the Preds this season. You're listening to Smashville Live, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine, here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herr is your host. We return with Milwaukee Admirals AHL head coach Carl Taylor, Preds minor league affiliate, also coming up on the end of their regular season and headed for the AHL playoffs starting in the first week of May. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling here on 102.5 The Game. All right, Carl, let's go through some of the guys who are on the AHL roster right now, and it's been great to get updates throughout the season, and like you said, you guys have really turned it on over these last few months after a slower start. And let's start with one of your top-line leading scorers, Cody Glass, who the Predators acquired last summer from the Flyers as part of the Ryan Ellis trade. Former first-round pick, broke camp with the NHL team, played in four games, and since then has played unbelievably well in Milwaukee. 44 assists in 61 AHL games this year. What's his development and role been like for you guys this season?
Yeah, Cody's been on the climb. Like, his first month here was a little challenging for him. You know, it's difficult. You get traded. He was out with an injury for an extended period the previous season. And so he's trying to get up and running. And then he got assigned to us, which, let's be honest, that was a disappointment for him. He was anticipating starting in Nashville. And so he had to recover from that, and it took longer than usual, but that's okay. He's a young kid. Everyone's got to remember, this guy's a young kid. He's very talented, and I believe he's going to play in the NHL for a long time. But since then, he's started the climb. He's playing with pace. Since we lost, Rocco has been out of our lineup for a while. Glasser has really stepped up his game, and he's driving our offense. And he's always been a pure passer. We know that. That's been his thing his whole career. But he's shooting more, and he's creating more. And he's played so well lately in his details in his games, where it's his back check and his effort and second effort. All these areas have come along that we've had some issues in the lineup, losing some of our leadership group. And at times, Cody's been able to wear an A for us, and he's deserved it. It's not because of his skills or his points. It's his approach and how hard he works at his game. And I'm really proud to say that he's worn an A for us the last few games.
Talking about Cody Glass in the AHL, let's talk about Tommy Novak, too, who you mentioned was on that great line last year with the Chicago Wolves when you guys shared that team with the Hurricanes. 27 NHL games in the early part of the season. Since then, 35 really good AHL games. What's it been like for him to come back to you guys with that NHL experience?
Yeah, new experience for this young man. So Tommy out of camp played one game for us. And then Glasser got reassigned and Tommy got an opportunity. So, one man's pain is another man's gain. So Tommy got to go to the NHL and he stayed. He stayed a lot longer than I thought. Usually your first visit, it's a little overwhelming and different things happen. And, you know, you go up and down a couple of times until you get comfortable. But Tommy was able to manage his minutes. He's a very cool customer. We call him the Iceman. There's nothing that bothers him. And so he did well. He did great. He stayed in the NHL. He established himself. One of my fun stories with Tommy is his first NHL game an NHL goal was in Chicago. And I happened to be on the bench, so that was great. When he scored his first goal, I was able to be there and enjoy it with him, which was fantastic. But Tommy came back down, and it's an adjustment. You're disappointed. You're trying to figure, what did I do wrong? How do I get back there? How do I stay there? There's usually some adjustment period, and there was for Tom as well. But, eventually Novi figured it out, and he's back on doing his thing. He was I think he had 2 assists today. He played great today. Drove our offense for us. He's a very elite player, and he has another guy who has an opportunity to get to the National Hockey League.
Talking with Milwaukee Admirals head coach Carl Taylor, AHL affiliate of the Preds, and let's talk about a guy who's in the Preds roster right now and played in the game last night, Matt Luff. First year in the organization, played in the AHL and the NHL. He's really filled a role with the Preds as a third and fourth line guy who can produce. What was it like meeting him this offseason, or I don't know if you had met him before that, but getting to coach him?
Well, you can remind him that when I was in Texas, we beat him out in the first round in Ontario. So he reminds me, too. He's mad. He thought they should have beat us. Anyways, we knocked him out. And no, I met him the first time this year. I called Stutz's old coach, Mike Struthers, and did a little homework. I don't do a lot of digging because I want guys to have a fresh start. I dug in a little bit with Stutz, and he was just telling me that, a good kid and what he liked about him. When he came in the first month, probably him and I wouldn't say we butted heads, but we were just storming a little bit, figuring out our relationship. The team was struggling, obviously. And so we were trying to work our way through it as a group. Everyone has to remember, we went from having the best team in the league to not having a team, and then having 16 new players join us at the start of this season. So that was all part of our storming early on and the challenges we had to get results. But once we got Matt and I on the same page, I'll tell you, this kid dug in. He started working hard. He was playing the right way. And he's a point-of-game guy in the American League. I don't think he's done that before, but I think he has 31 points in 30 games in the American Hockey League for us. I think that's the highest rate of scoring he's had for output. He's always done well, but that might be his highest output in the American Hockey League. And he really grew up. He's a guy that demands coaching. He demands his teammates to play a certain style in a certain way, but I'm okay with that. As long as you can manage that demanding and that approach, then he's a player that's going to make other people perform and execute.
Cole Smith, another forward who made his NHL debut right off the bat in the COVID season and has been up and down this year, played in 8 games in the NHL, 53 in the AHL, been a big body forward when he's come up. What's been his role with you guys?
This is Cole's really first year, in my opinion. He played last year in the 30 games with the dual affiliation team. I feel this is really his first full season of pro hockey. I absolutely love this kid. He's a young man who works. He's a tireless worker. His effort is always there. He has worked at his game. He's always been known as a penalty killer, a checking, a hard player to play against. Well, he's worked on his skills. He's worked on his skills before and after practice with our coaching staff. Kind of similar to what Tanner Jeannot did when he was here. He grinded away at his game. And now you see Tanner scoring in the NHL. Well, Smitty's scoring in the American League now. So who knows what's going to happen for him. But his upside is high because he's going to maximize whatever he has. And Tanner was the same way. I would say Tanner's a couple of years younger. But I would say with Smitty, he's going to maximize and hit his maximum potential because he grinds and he stays in it. And he's doing great. I'm really proud of him. And he's knocking on the door.
Another forward, Matthew Olivier, who only played in the NHL last year, comes back to the AHL this year. What have you seen from him?
You know, that can be challenging. He spent the full season there, and then he started there, and they got reassigned, and he's been a bit of a yo-yo this year. Matty's a great kid. He's a big, strong forward. We all know he's a powerful guy, dominates in the offensive zone, cycling the puck, creating offense from nowhere, attacking above the goal line. He likes to get in confrontations and challenge people, defend teammates, go to the net hard, hold people accountable. He's had a couple injury issues this year with us. But outside of that, he's been a really good player for us. I believe the last five games, he's been his best part of his season. And I think he's smelling playoffs right now. He's a guy who's going to be a playoff type player for us. I think he's sensing it. I think we're going to see his best performance as we come down the stretch.
Talking with Milwaukee Admirals head coach Carl Taylor here on Smashville Live. Last forward I want to ask you about is Igor Afanasyev in his first pro North American season. What's it been like coaching him and seeing him find his game?
Yeah, Igor's a great kid. He's got a great energy and a really fun-loving attitude. We've had him dig in a few areas. There's some junior habits, some things we have to work through him. But he's got an elite shot. We saw that in the exhibition season in Nashville. He can really shoot the pill. But as far as battling and understanding how to play the right way for an extended period of times, that was a challenge for Igor to learn. It's not a bad thing. It's just normal. He's a first-year pro in North America trying to figure it out. And so we really tried to guide him. And in the last 4 weeks, he's really bought into it. And I believe it was I think we healthy scratched him for a game, and it was just to get his attention and say, look, you need to progress. This is what you need. This isn't about us. It's about you. And since then, he's really dug into his game and gone to the hard areas. He's learning how to play harder for longer, and that's his challenge, but he's really digging into it. So I like where he's at. He's had a good season. I think he's got 28 points this year, which for a first-year guy is good numbers, and he's a guy that's been progressing in the right direction.
New player to the organization, Alex Biega, 34-year-old veteran defenseman, played a lot for the Canucks, played 243 career NHL games, traded for from the Toronto Marlies last month. What's the message from him organizationally and about someone who you guys know the Preds could need later on?
Yeah, I really like Alex's game. He's been with us, I'm not sure, 7-8 games, whatever it is. He's a veteran. He's got a mature game. I love how he uses his feet to make decisions. He's not always relying on receiving. He's surfing up. He's killing plays early. He plays the right way. He plays bigger than his size. In the D zone, he cuts off the net. He cuts off plays. He checks through people's hands. He's got an attitude that is contagious. He comes to the rink. He's ready to go. He's a professional, and I love the standard that he has for himself. And it's slowly seeping through our team and assisting it. He hasn't been here long, but his veteran presence and how he plays is definitely having an impact on our whole team.
Don't have time to get to everybody, sadly, but I'll leave you with this, Carl Taylor, head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals. What did you think of the picnic table style jerseys you guys wore last month as the Milwaukee Fish Fry?
Really put me on the spot here with this. This is what I'll tell you. I heard they went over very well. The fans loved them. A lot of people loved them. Me, I'm kind of a traditionalist. I love our logo. I think our logo is special. And we at this level, there's always some different jerseys that we wear. The picnic jerseys, they were very entertaining. And I thought really grabbed the local history and what happens in Milwaukee. So I love that part because I do enjoy history. But I love our jerseys. I love the logo we have. I love the Milwaukee Admirals. And I remind the guys every day, remember why you're playing. It's for you, your family, and also for this logo that a lot of people before us have left a legacy here that we're trying to uphold and we're trying to add to it. So what's our story going to be this season? It's yet to be written. Right now, it's a great comeback season. We hopefully are going to write a few more chapters here before the season's over.
He's Carl Taylor, the head coach of the Preds AHL affiliate Milwaukee Admirals. 8 more games in the regular season. They'll be starting the playoffs soon, just like the Preds. Carl, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Come back with Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies here on Smashville Live and ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm your host, Max Herz, talking Preds on this Wednesday night. Predators are in Ottawa tomorrow night to take on the Sens on the road. 5 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock puck drop right here on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We had Milwaukee Admirals head coach Carl Taylor on for the first half of the show. And now we welcome in our player guest for the second half. Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies is here. Jeremy, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
You have now played in 21 NHL games, all for the Preds, 16 last season, now 5 this season, with most of them coming in the last couple weeks. What's it been like to get back to the NHL club this year and feel more comfortable?
Oh, it's been awesome. Like you said, last year, I kind of got my feet wet a bit, got my first game out of the way, and I was able to play 16 during the COVID season, as we like to call it. And then this year, there's been some ups and downs, but, it was great to, start the year in Milwaukee, great group of guys, great coaches, team really started taking off there in the second half and then got the call to join the Predators and, I was able to, play a couple games, the past couple weeks. So it's been a lot of fun.
Injuries, trades, and a lot of things have led to this, but the Preds have played 10 different defensemen in the last 5 games. What's it like to be a defenseman in that group?
Yeah, it's great. It really is a great group of guys. It's great to be a part of that D-core, and we're all ready to fill in whenever we can, and if guys who are playing are playing well in the lineup, and whoever's not playing is working real hard away from the games and staying ready for whenever that opportunity comes.
Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies is our guest here on Smashville Live. John Hines mentioned after your second NHL game of the season against the Maple Leafs last month that you've really grown as a player. Where do you feel like that growth has come?
It all really started in Milwaukee. I think we got a great group of veterans down there. A couple other guys who are, have done a great job helping out younger guys like me and coach staff as well with, Greg Rallo, Scott Ford, and Carl Taylor, and really done a great job developing us players. And for me personally, working on my play without the puck and away from the puck and in my own zone, and I really think over the last couple of years down in the American League I've taken some step forwards in those areas, and to be able to come up to the NHL and test my skills, and I felt good out there, and I really do feel that kind of like my play away from the puck and my defensive game have taken steps forward, and I'm excited to kind of see some of that hard work pay off.
The game where he said that was your first game up in the NHL in a couple of months. You've gone down, you've done what you're supposed to do in Milwaukee, you've taken the assignment, then you get called back up the day before that game. What's the reorientation process like to the NHL club in a day like that?
Yeah, it's never easy going from two teams, up and down, but you really just kind of gotta never get too high, never get too low, keep working hard, and You know, regardless of what level you're playing at and which team you're playing on, just kind of like keep the same mindset, whether it's in games or in practices, work hard, make sure you're always, you know, working on those details in your game and staying sharp, and just like trying to take step forwards every day, and you know, hoping that it pays off in the games.
Is there film work or system work with the NHL coaches in a moment like that when you come back?
There is, because, you know, there's, I think that Milwaukee and Nashville plays similar system and similar style, but there are some differences, and that's kind of one of the things that you have to deal with going up and down, is just making sure that you're up to date and caught up with how the team's playing and what all those little details are. And so there is some video work, there's some conversations that you have with the coaches, but more so for me, I'm just asking questions to guys like Alex Carrier or Matt Benning, just about, you know, what do I do in this situation? What do I do in that situation? And they've been really good for me, and kind of just keeping me up to date and make sure I'm doing the right things out there.
You've always been a puck mover at all levels, someone who can lead breakouts, take the puck clean out of your D zone. How do you feel like you've done with that this year at both the AHL and NHL levels?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, I think things happen a little quicker in the at the NHL level, and guys are a little smarter, so I feel like things are a little harder to execute on at this level, but those are kind of the kind of the learning curves you have to go through as a young player. And you know, I feel like the more reps that I get at this level, the better I'll get. Kind of look what happened to me in the American League. You know, at first when I started, it was a little tougher because, you know, coming out of college, guys are obviously faster, bigger, stronger, smarter. But once I kind of got those reps and got a hang of the speed of the game and, you know, the speed at which plays are made, it was a little easier. And I feel like I'm kind of going through that process right now at the NHL level. But it's been going great.
Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies is our guest here on Smashville Live, talking to us from Ottawa, where the Preds will play tomorrow night. And Jeremy, you said last month you would go up and down 100 times if you had to, and it's part of the grind and part of what you want to do as a hockey player. What does it mean to you, even when you're not in the lineup, just to be with the NHL team and getting those game day type morning skate reps and practice reps?
Yeah, I mean, the more reps you get at this level, whether it's practice, games, morning skates, team road trips, team meetings, I think the more it'll help anyone as a player. So for me to be up here, I mean, I'm just kind of being a sponge, soaking it all in, working as hard as I can, whether it's in practice, morning skates, and games. And, you know, obviously I want to play as much as I can, but when those opportunities aren't there, I'm making sure that I'm doing the right things in the other areas. So for me, I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but it's all part of your journey. It's all part of the grind, and you just got to stick with it and have a good attitude and work hard.
Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies is our guest here on Smashville Live. We'll take a break, come back, talk about his hockey upbringing growing up in Montreal, then playing college hockey in the U.S. at Northeastern University, and then getting traded to the Preds from the Devils as part of the PK Subban deal. We'll take a break, come back with more from Jeremy. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Last segment of the show tonight with Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies, our guest. I'm your host, Max Herz. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine here on 102.5 The Game. Jeremy Davies in his second NHL season, third season with the Preds organization, grew up in Montreal. Jeremy, what was your hockey upbringing like from an early age, and one of so many in the Montreal area who was playing the game from 2, 3, 4 years old?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. My first memory is playing hockey. It was always at the outdoor rink. You know, a cool thing about the cold climate in Montreal and Quebec is that you know, once it starts getting real cold in the winter, every kind of like municipal park puts up hockey boards, like just like wooden boards. And then they, you know, have a big truck come and they flood the ice, and kind of every neighborhood has their own outdoor rink. And I was lucky enough to have one like 30 second walk from my house. And me and all my buddies from the neighborhood, we'd always go play. And then from there, I just played minor hockey, you know, throughout my my town there back home. It's called Lakeshore Hockey. You know, up from about, you know, 5 years old to 15. And then I played mid-AAA with a great organization, the Lac St. Louis Lions, who have players like Mike Matheson have played for, Jonathan Drouin, Anthony Duclair, guys who are having great success in the NHL. And then I had to make the tough decision of either going to major junior or going to the college route. You know, and after a couple sit downs with my parents, they really wanted me to go get an education. And, you know, we thought that was the smarter thing to do. And from there, I went to Iowa in the USHL. I got traded from Iowa to Bloomington, which is about an hour and a half south of Chicago. Played two seasons there, and then committed to Northeastern, one of the first schools I was talking to. You know, they were the one of the first schools to offer me and to give me an opportunity. And I really wanted to play close to home. You know, Boston being about 5 hours from Montreal, gave my parents the opportunity to drive down and watch me. And so much history in college hockey in Boston with the Bean Pod and Boston University, Harvard, Boston College. Had a really fun 3 years there. Had some great teammates, played on some great teams. We were able to, you know, win a couple of Bean Pods, win a couple of conference championships. And after my third season there, I decided to turn pro and sign with the Predators. And, you know, it's my third year pro.
That's Jeremy Davies' hockey journey right there in a big nutshell. And let's go back to when you were high school age. You had offers or a chance to play in the Q in the Quebec Major Junior League. And obviously everyone growing up in Montreal wants to play juniors in the Q if they can. But like you said, you had that conversation with your parents. Would you have believed if someone had told you in maybe your early teen years or your preteen years that you would pass up a chance like that?
Not really. Like growing up in Quebec, you always hear about the Q, you see it on TV. You know, maybe you'll go to games. And that was always a league I kind of look up to and wanted to play in, kind of like a mini NHL. And I got drafted to the Victoriaville Tigers. And I remember getting called up around Christmas, when I was playing mid-AAA. But the thing about playing in the Q is the second you step on the ice for one game, you lose your college eligibility completely. So I was lucky enough to have a great coach and midget, John Goyens, who still does a lot of work in the hockey world. And he kind of told me and my dad, like, before you do anything, I want to set you up to go to Boston and go look at this college hockey stuff. And, you know, me and my daughter are kind of like, college hockey, like, what's that? Like, I've never heard of college hockey, like Boston University, Boston College. So we were able to actually drive down to Boston. You know, they didn't invite me on visits. I actually just showed up with my dad, and we went to a BC Vermont game when Mike Matheson was playing for BC, who was someone I knew pretty well growing up and looked up to. And I was just blown away by the facilities and pace of play and the student sections and, like I said, the gyms, the facilities, the coaching staff, everything was just so professional. And it was kind of a step above the Q. And at the same time, you can get this great education for some guys for free, you know, full scholarship. So after that one visit, that one weekend trip with my father, we decided that that was my ultimate goal, was to play college hockey and earn a degree and get a scholarship. And lucky enough, a couple of years down the road, I was able to come in contact with Jim Madigan and Coach Keefe from Northeastern, and ended up choosing to go there.
So after you make that decision, you're going to the USHL without knowing for sure where the college route is going to take you. Well, what's it like for someone from Quebec to go first to Iowa and then to Illinois for kind of a big destination that you don't know yet?
Yeah, I don't really remember like what I was thinking. Like looking back now, I think I was 17 when I just decided to hop on a plane and go to Iowa, which I have probably never heard of at that age, being like, you know, I can imagine my parents were probably like pretty nervous, especially my mom, like just me hopping on a plane going to Iowa to play hockey. But lucky enough, I played 10 games in Iowa, and then I ended up getting traded to a weaker team, and I ended up getting like more opportunity on this new team, and played more minutes. I was able to, you know, play power play, whatever. And from there, I started getting noticed from a couple schools, and I was able to, you know, come back closer to home and go to school in Boston.
Pretty wild how it all works out. Jeremy Davies, Predators defenseman, is our guest. And you signed with the Devils after your third year at Northeastern in early April 2019. And then you mentioned a trade really changed your life in the USHL. You were part of a big trade in the NHL right off the bat, immediately after you turned pro. I know you were golfing when you found out about the PK Subban trade to Jersey that sent you from the Devils org to the Preds org. What sticks with you most from that day now, what is it, 4 years later, 5 years later?
Yeah, I remember, so I signed out of college, and I think I was taking a month or two off from hockey, just kind of hanging out, getting ready to get back into it. And, you know, I was excited to go to training camp and with the Devils and stuff. And I think it was like June 22nd. It was the second day of the draft. So on Saturday, I was playing in a golf tournament. So I was sitting around the table with five or six of my buddies having breakfast at the clubhouse. It was around like 9 a.m. And I like looked at my phone, and I had two missed phone calls from, I think it was the assistant GM in New Jersey. And I was like, that's weird. So I gave him a quick call back, and I stepped away from the table, and I was on my phone. And as I was calling the GM, my buddies were like on Twitter, and they saw the trade. So they actually found out before I did. But you know, I didn't really know what to think at the time. Obviously it's part of the business. It's out of my control. You just kind of got to regroup. And, you know, instead of getting ready to go to New Jersey's camp, I started getting ready to come to, you know, the Preds camp, and kind of went from there.
The Devils had been in close touch with you and your college coach, Jim Madigan, at Northeastern. What's it like to be talking to them for that long and knowing you wanted to sign with them, and then before you could do anything there, get traded away?
It was tough at the time, but at that time I hadn't really, well, obviously I hadn't played any pro games. I hadn't had any pro experience. So, you know, I was kind of just, it was as if I was drafted, you know, on one organized, sorry, my phone was ringing. You know, I kind of just regrouped and went to Nashville's camp. And, you know, it was tough at the time. My agents were calling me, and I don't think they were very happy about you know, what was going on at the time, because, like you said, we had been talking in New Jersey for 3 or 4 years at the time, and we kind of, you create those relationships with coaching staff, the general managers, and you know, you're ready to go into that organization and make a splash, make a first impression, and kind of have to restart all over again with those relationships and go to Nashville. But you know, I'm really happy with the way it worked out. Milwaukee has been great, and that coaching staff's been awesome, and you know, Mr. Poile and the Predators have also been just a class act, so it's been awesome.
You mentioned the Milwaukee Admirals, and we had your AHL head coach Carl Taylor on for the first half of the show, and he requested that we ask you about when and how you got your driver's license and who taught you how to drive.
Yeah, so like I said before, I moved away from Quebec at 17. And what some people don't know is that in Quebec, getting your driver's license is like a long process, like just ridiculously long, like kind of unnecessary. It's like a year and a half of in class, sit down classes. And then you got to do like once a week for like 6 months, you got to do driving. And so I was just like, the hell with it. I'm not getting my driver's license in Quebec. I'll wait until I'm, you know, maybe going to school in Boston or playing pro somewhere in the United States, and I'll get it then. And my first year pro in Milwaukee, I didn't have a car, obviously, because I didn't have my license yet. So because of my age, I think I was 22, it was really easy for me to get my license. It was just kind of like go in, take a quick like 30 question test, and then do like 10 minutes of driving, and then there you go, you have it. So that's exactly what I did. And I ended up buying a car and stuff, but Carl Taylor actually, like, I remember one day before team video, he put a chair like in the middle of the locker room, and instead of putting video up on the PowerPoint, he put up like a mock like questionnaire test for me. Like, so I had to sit down in the chair in front of the whole team and kind of answer all these like multiple choice questions about like driving. Like a couple days before my actual test. So that was funny.
That's so funny. So were the other guys helping you learn, or did you know at that point you just didn't have a license?
I kind of knew. I had this app on my phone that was getting me ready for the test that I would like do on like road trips or something. When I was bored on the bus, I'd pull up the app and, you know, answer a couple of the questions. So I was kind of, you know, caught up to speed on the answers and stuff, but the guys were just like laughing at me the whole time, and just like it was a good time.
That's awesome. Well, big shout out to Carl Taylor, the great driving teacher / AHL head coach. So he helped Jeremy Davies get his license, and he also wanted us to pass on that tomorrow is Green Shirt Day to honor Logan Boulay and the Humboldt Broncos, and today is the very sad 4-year anniversary of the bus crash. But Logan was able to help out so many as an organ donor after that, and tomorrow nationwide in Canada and also many places here in the U.S. is Green Shirt Day. So we want to pass that on from Carl as well as the fun stuff. But Jeremy, thanks so much for doing this. Enjoy the game against the Sens tomorrow, and we'll see you back here on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
That's Preds defenseman Jeremy Davies here on Smashville Live, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Cool and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Our producer tonight is Kenny Adams. That's all we got tonight here on 102.5 The Game.